The San Jose Sharks Audio Network is on 24 hours a day. Whether you're in the office or on the go, make sure that you download the Sharks SAP Center app and hit listen anytime. You can also find us on your computer by going to sjsharks.com/listen. If it's a game broadcast, breaking news, or a player feature, the place to find it is right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network. It's time for the Sharks Morning Skate with all the latest on San Jose Sharks hockey. Here are your hosts, Dan Rusinowski and Drew Remenda.
We are in Los Angeles, and the San Jose Sharks are getting set to face off against the Los Angeles Kings. Drew, let's hope that what happened last night doesn't happen again. But we talked about it between periods during the check-in. And it certainly was not a good atmosphere. It didn't end well. But I guess the good news is that Cam Lund got his first NHL goal, and we can focus on that.
Yeah, and this is the interesting thing about this team this season, even from the last two seasons, the vibe of this team. And they're not down in the dumps. They're not just going through the motions. They're over there. And just we're in the hotel still, and it's just there's no morning skate. They're playing their soccer games. They're doing their stretching. They're enjoying being around each other. There's a vibe of this team that is a togetherness and fun, and you have to have fun in this game. You have to have fun coming to the rink. You have to have a joy and passion for playing this game, and that comes from the fun. There's a good group of guys there, and you know, the two Tylers make a difference, DeLandre and Toffoli. The kids are fantastic to be around. They got a bounce in their step this morning, so hopefully there'll be a response from the Sharks from their game yesterday. But you're playing a team that is playing terrific hockey, fantastic at home, rarely lost last night against the Toronto Maple Leafs, so they'll be geared up to go, because they want that home ice advantage this season. Looks like they're going to finish in that second or third spot. Again, going to play at the Edmonton Oilers.
You can't wait for that, can you?
No, I think it's going to be great. It's going to be really different this year, too, because I think when you look at the way that LA's been playing, that they think they've got it figured out about finally how to beat the Edmonton Oilers. This will be the fourth time that they played them.
Fourth consecutive, right?
Yeah, fourth consecutive time they played in the playoffs. So that's going to be really interesting, and home ice is going to make a difference.
Now, let's be clear about what we're just talking about. They're not having fun losing. That's not fun. But they're having fun being together and going through the process and seeing where the team is going. That's really, really important. And that's something that hasn't been here for a couple of years.
Yeah, absolutely. Last year, it was
the walk. Mail it in.
Mail it in. And it was the walk. And it was everybody was down in the dumps. And there was so many problems last year with the attitude of the team. And there wasn't anything that anybody could do. It was just heavy. It felt heavy near the end last year. And changes were made this year. Character guys brought in this year. Veteran players who won Stanley Cups. Even a guy like Mark Edward Vlasic, who's been in and out of the lineup, has had injury and injury, and then get back in and plays well, and then gets out again. And he's still got that bounce in his step. It's still as smart as he always is. And they like being around each other. And for the most part, they compete like hell. They really, really do. Last night was one of those ones where they competed, but they were just overmatched.
Yeah, they just didn't have it last night. By the way, let's stick with Mark Edward Vlasic for a second. Today is his 38th birthday. Mark Edward Vlasic becomes 38 years of age as of this moment, in fact. And he will be back in the lineup tonight, it looks like, because Jimmy Schultz, who played last night, captain of the CUDA, recalled on emergency basis, ends up getting injured. Now, you were at the bench. Did you see anything that was obvious? Because I did not see anything obvious. It was about halfway through the third period.
Yeah, and he came off the ice, sat on the bench, and he sat turned towards me for a minute or two. And then he didn't come back after that. It didn't feel great. I don't know what it was.
By the way, body language for that, when a player is on the end of the bench and he turns to the side, that's generally not a good sign,
no,
is it?
No, you don't want to see it. JT Miller last night, when he took the puck on the thumb, he came on. I thought JT Miller was really interesting. He came off the bench and he kind of turned towards me and he saw me and he turned back because I was looking at him. His hand was trembling. I mean, he was so, and the thumb was swollen up. And he went back out in the ice to grab his stick, came back, argued with the trainer basically about coming back on the ice to play, and then got the assist on the shorthanded goal. JT Miller has been reborn there. I mean, the guys, it's amazing what goes on the bench, how much injury, how much hurt and pain that they work through sitting on the bench to get back out on the ice. And every team does it. It's extraordinary.
Well, we got Vlasic back in the lineup tonight. I'm expecting we're probably going to get Romanov in goal, I would imagine. Yeah. Tough night for Georgiev last night against his old team. He really badly wanted to have a big night against them, as he did against Toronto. Yeah. I mean, he made six saves in overtime in that game, which I look back at the stat sheet and I said, really, six in OT?
Yeah.
That's how good he was in that game. But Romanov has a golden opportunity here. And let's not forget, too, getting back to the Kings. They lost to the Sharks 7-2 this year. So it's not like they're looking at this as any walk in the park.
I don't think any team is anymore. You know, like the way that the Sharks, like Craig Berube, when we were there listening to him, and he talked about how you've got to play against the Sharks. They're an exciting young team. They're a skilled young team. They're a team that hustles. They're a team that competes. Every coach that has come in, you had Laviolette on your program yesterday, and he talked about the Sharks and the way they play. And every team that comes in understands now that this is not a walk in the park. One of the things Ryan Warsawski wanted to do was to get respect back for the San Jose Sharks in the way they play games. So, yeah, the Kings have a lot to play for. The Sharks still have a lot to play for, too. I think what Jamal Mares said with you when we were at a production meeting, and he talked about there is, and what has become your favorite quote, the plan is in ink, but the process is in pencil. Well, that's the same thing for the when it comes to the players. The players are part of that process. As Jamal said, management has a book on you. Management has a plan for you. It's up to you to accelerate that plan, to move it forward quicker. It's up to you to even change that plan as far as maybe they see you as a third liner or a fourth liner. Maybe you're more than that. Well, every guy believes they're more than that. And I'm not denigrating third and fourth line guys. But maybe they see you in one role and you see yourself in another role. Well, go prove yourself to be in that other role.
This is a very interesting concept because I remember a number of times when people are misdiagnosed, so to speak. They're basically, you know, you look at a kid and let's say he's 6'5", 230.
Yeah.
You expect he's going to kill people.
Yeah.
But maybe he's a skilled player.
Yeah.
And maybe he's not that kind of a personality. How often does that mistake happen? And whose responsibility is it to realize that it's a mistake and maybe change the opinion of that player to get the most out of him or move him?
A lot, I think. We used to do it when I was coaching. We saw certain guys because of their past and where they were to be that type of player. He's a checker. He's a defensive specialist.
He's a leader.
He's good in the room. All those kinds of things. But when you are in a situation where you allow guys to be free to play differently than they're pinholed or pigeonholed to be, then you get surprises. Like, did anybody look at Ray Whitney with the San Jose Sharks way back when?
Classic example.
And think he's going to be a 1,000-plus point player, he's going to win Stanley Cup, he's going to be this guy who is going to continue to score goal after goal after goal after goal after goal.
Play 20 years.
20 years in the National Hockey League and be as smart and hard and tough to play against as he was? No. We were sitting in the meeting with Dean Lombardi.
Never forget.
After they let Ray go. And you know, we asked the question and Dean got mad at us for asking the question, but you get blinders on. Management does, coaches do, and sometimes players just accept it. Most players don't. Most players, if you give them the opportunity, they will go out and prove you're wrong.
Well, no blinders about this game. LA's a great defensive team. Drew Doughty is back in the lineup. That's a big reason why. Andre Kopitar continues to provide his theatrics. Andre Kuzmenko has been a nice add. And up the middle, they're really good. Kopitar, Byfield, Dano, and Hellenius, who's a big man. Byfield's really coming into his own.
Yeah, absolutely. There's a guy. Thought there was going to be something, and you know, he's better than people even thought he was going to be. He's amazing.
It's going to be interesting. We're on the air at 6:30. And this is an ESPN game, so make sure you sync our broadcast with Drew and me up to the national television feed. Until then, that's the morning skate today.
You've been listening to the Sharks Morning Skate. Make sure you're listening all season long to the latest Sharks news and information right here on the San Jose Sharks Audio Network.